really is Friday. 5 p.m.
We made it.
Welcome to American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC. I mean, Fridays in general, they're easy for me to remember. This is the Friday that I always tend to, I really got to force myself to remember that we have a show on this particular Friday. The Friday after Thanksgiving is always a holiday for us. At least it's a day off with our work, with Thanksgiving falling on Thursday. And I think that it is the only time in my entire radio career that I literally forgot to show up. Not once, but twice.
That's right.
I'm home. I'm chilling out the day after Thanksgiving, puttering around. And I'm just, and sometime between 5 and 6 o'clock, I'm like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be in the radio.
We forgot.
Oops. No such problem this year. I think that COVID more or less solved that problem, perhaps forever. Who knows? But we can continue in our series, which we are calling Transistor Days, covering the best pop music from January of 1955 until the end of 1969. This is part 49. We are coming very close. I looked it up, Heidi. We started doing this series a Christmas week last year. Our first Transistor Days Part 1 took place on December 20th of 2019. It was a totally different world back then.
Right.
And here we are holding fast to what we determined we were going to do. This is Part 49 in the series. So you can see we haven't skipped any weeks. We've been pretty consistent.
Here we are. At least some things are consistent in life.
Well, Part 49, this is amazing. We're not really moving too quickly because we have been, we spent the past two shows, part 47 and 48, covering the Summer of Love. And this show is the Summer of Love part 3. Wow. Obviously, there was a lot of stuff to cover. This one is going to be a little bit more ragged, though, in a sense. We've been moving through some of these and we have had virtually no great misses to speak of, songs that I would like basically bring up to pick on a little bit in terms of what was happening around it. And on this show, I've got three.
Oh,
so
boy.
We've, thank goodness that the fabulous stuff makes up for it. But let's get right into it. And the first track at the top of the show is going to be one of those great misses. The band is Eric Burdon and the Animals. But it's not the Animals that we knew from the British invasion. It's a totally different band. Eric Burdon scared everybody else away.
Oops.
But held on to the name. And at one point, he was touring with his new band. People who I can only tell you their names because they'd be written down in front of me. But unlike the original band, where some of the members were relatively famous, I don't know these guys, you know, Vic Briggs, John Wider, Barry Jenkins, Danny McCulloch. But that is the people that are now backing Eric Burdon. And at one point in time during, you know, this year, 1967, they were touring in San Francisco. And it happened like to be a very warm weekend.
Nice.
When they were there. So they got the impression that
Which is an odyssey in San Francisco.
They got the impression that San Francisco was like LA or, you know, or further south. Like, you know, it's a sunny place and it's always, you know, it's warm. And so they wrote this song about how great and beautiful and warm the weather is in San Francisco. Which is pretty funny considering that, may I quote Mark Twain, the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco.
That's
so,
right.
So the thing is, Eric Burdon takes his like misinterpretation of the city's weather and he turns it into a hippie pie-in for what the town stands for. Now, yes, San Francisco was incredibly important during the Summer of Love, but this song is an utter embarrassment. I'm sorry. I just find everything about this song to be either offensive which it's just almost too stupid to be offensive. It's so much easier to just laugh at it. I just don't.
Lighten up.
This is Eric Burden, the man who was all about bringing the blues to England. And now he's like becoming a new, an incredibly unhip hippie. It's really, really embarrassing. He starts with a parody of the Dragnet theme, and it gets worse from there. Save up all your bread and fly Translove Airways to San Francisco? Eric, please, please. This song was dated 2 weeks after it was released. On American Radio 90.3 WHBC, our first great miss of three today, here's San Franciscan Nights by Eric Burden and the Animals.
San Francisco, who may not know it, but they are beautiful, and so is their city. This is a very personal song, so if the viewer cannot understand it, particularly those of you who are European residents, save up all your bread and fly Translove Airways to San Francisco, USA. Then maybe you'll understand the song. It will be worth it, if not for the sake of this song, but for the sake of your own peace of mind.
Strobe lights beam, create streams. Walls move, minds do too. On a warm San Franciscan night, old child, young child, feel alright. On a warm San Franciscan night, angels sing, leather wings, dreams of blue Harley Davidson's tree. On a warm San Franciscan night, old angel, young angel, feel alright. On a warm San Franciscan night, I wasn't born there, perhaps I'll die there. There's no place left to go. San Francisco. Cop's face is filled with hate. Heavens above, he's on a street called love. When will they ever learn? Old cop, young cop, feel alright. On a warm San Franciscan night, the children are cool, they don't raise fools. An American dream includes Indians too.
Quite honestly, I can say unequivocally, I'm shocked that that song even charted.
Well, the mandolin's nice.
It's ridiculous. I don't hear it played. Let's put this in perspective. Okay, that track went to number 9 after debuting in August of 1967. Now, I find this to be a very interesting coincidence because the next track only went to number 10. It was one position. It was blocked from going higher because Eric Burden and the Animals were at number 9. And Van Morrison's Brown Eyed Girl was one position in back of it at number 10. Now, you ask yourself, oh no, he's about to play Brown Eyed Girl. You know, because it's about the 10 billionth time you're going to hear it. And yeah, I am. Because let's look at this in let's put this into context. That ridiculous song that I just played outcharted it. It was actually a position higher, and I'll bet that was the first time you ever heard it, really. And if it wasn't, I bet you didn't miss it. Well, Brown Eyed Girl is the type of song that maybe you almost wish would go away because after 50 years, you've heard it 10 billion times.
True.
It probably is the most played song on the radio, bar none. I don't know what would surpass it. It's the type of song that if you
Freebird.
Were going to... No way. No way. Brown Eyed Girl, hands down, wins. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, maybe Baba O'Reilly by The Who. No, definitely not. Brown Eyed Girl, because it's on every genre. Flip the dial right now. You'll probably hit it. But don't bother. No, don't flip the dial. Stay right where you are because you're going to hear it right here. Right now. Van Morrison had just left the band Them, and he came to New York to record for his new label. And the same guy that had given us such punk blues classics as Gloria and Baby Please Don't Go, et cetera, he had this song in his head. It was just a pop masterpiece, a simple little piece of pop. Now, what's really funny is that the released version, the version that you hear on the radio 99.9% of the time, is the one that in 1967, they edited out his last verse where he would sing, you know, making love in the green grass with you. And they were like, that ain't gonna happen. I don't know why Van Morrison can't say it, but Frank Sinatra can, or almost anybody else could. But when Van Morrison put the words making love into his song, they found it offensive and they had to fix it. So they edited the skipping and a jumping back into the third verse in order to fix it. That always offended me. So here it is on American Radio 90.3 WHPC. Listen closely and see which version I play.
Cast my memory back there, Lord. Sometime overcome.
shut up. Don't yell at me because I played the single version. That's what I'm supposed to do. We're playing the singles. So I had to. If you want to hear the version that's not edited, go to our show on Friday. Go to the website, American Hit Radio, AmericanHitNetwork.com, excuse me. Search it. You'll find it either way.
It'll go there.
But if you find the Van Morrison album where I play the version as it was intended. But I think I wanted to mention it because the splice of it is almost painfully obvious.
It's awkward. It makes this weird little jump.
Yeah.
It skips.
It does. So there you have it. Okay. Track number three. We played the Beatles' All You Need Is Love last week, which I would say is pretty much the national anthem for the summer of love. Well, as things would go with the Beatles, of course, the B-side would always eventually follow the A-side. And that's what's happening here. Eventually, Baby, You're a Rich Man on the B-side rose to number 34 all on its own because of the fact that it was getting airplay. And it's a rather interesting song. It's for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's the very first Beatles song of their entire career up to this point to be recorded outside of EMI studios. And I'm not exactly even sure why, but they were in the studio where the Rolling Stones did most of their recording, which is why Mick Jagger happened to be present. He figured he'd show up while the Beatles were working on this. And it happened right after something in London, an event called the 14-hour Technicolor Dream took place. And you talk about hippified.
Oh my goodness, and yes.
This is Lennon at his most wide-eyed, love song to the hippies. When he was like, how does it feel to be one of the beautiful people? He was basically singing to the hippies. And he had a song which was called exactly that, one of the beautiful people. But he didn't have a chorus. And McCartney was sitting on Baby, You're a Rich Man, Baby, You're a Rich Man. So they just threw the two ideas together. And since then, everybody now says, oh, they wrote it about their manager, obviously. Well, really, they didn't. It's been interpreted that way, that this is a song about the Beatles' manager and they're got their tongue in their cheek. But Lennon was really writing a hippie anthem to the hippies, and McCartney just had a song called Baby, You're a couple of
verses.
One chorus. Yeah, one chorus with Baby, You're a Rich Man. Now, what makes it interesting to me is that there's this instrument called the clavioline that plays throughout it, clavioline, maybe that's how you'll pronounce it, which is a very strange instrument, synthesizer. And Lennon was in charge of playing it. So he gets the effect that he wants by he got an orange and he's rolling it up and down the keyboards.
Wow.
That's how you get that crazy. That's all Lennon rolling an orange up and down on the clavioline in order to get the cool sound and the effect on this track. On American Radio 90.3 WHBC, here are the Beatles with Baby, You're a Rich Man.
Baby, you're a rich man. Baby, you're a rich man. Baby,
and all hail the Beatles. At the time, that song was considered like a toss-off, and it's amazing how, like, after all this time, it's still like it's got
it's good.
Guts. It's a great song. It was great then, but the Beatles were surrounding themselves with so much fabulous material that a song like that, which was just great fun, the band loved every second of like what they were doing on that track, and it shows. It you can hear it on the track. All right. What was the real big hit of the Summer of Love? Well, this next song was the best-selling song of 1967 for the entire year, number one, and one of the only hits by this artist, oddly, in America. Lulu, who would eventually become the wife of Maurice Gibb. Yes, that Maurice Gibb of Morris, actually, I believe is how they pronounced his name, of the Bee Gees, was, after having a career with her own band, Lulu and the Lovers, and releasing tracks that were basically, you know, Isley Brothers ripoffs and things like that, she gets a role as an actress in a movie starring Sidney Poitier.
Oh, yeah.
And they ask her to sing
best song ever,
the theme song. And it is really one of the best songs ever. It was written by the husband of her manager with lyrics by the guy who wrote the lyrics to Born Free. I can't wrap my head around how fabulous this song is. Every time I hear it, I'm like, I'm awed by the talent of the songwriting. So a tip of the hat to Don Black and Mark London, because although you're not household names, you've written one of the most perfect pop songs of all time. And Lulu happens to sing it. On American at Radio, 90.3 WHPC, here is To Sir With Love.
Bye.
profound, actually, isn't it?
Oh, it makes me want to cry all the time.
Right? I mean, after all this time, this song is that strong. Such a well-written song. Now, this is great because we have, a great comparison to follow it. This is a song by an artist who I bear no grudge against. Vicky Carr was a very talented singer. And the songwriter, Gilbert Bécaud from France, is actually a hero of mine. He's written some songs that actually always make me shiver. I love his songwriting. But what happened here is that somebody grabbed Gilbert Bécaud's French song and translated it to lyrics, English lyrics, for Vicky Carr to sing. And it ends up being one of the most literally hysterical performances I've ever heard. This is a woman who is on the brink of losing her mind. And it reminds me, if you've ever watched SCTV back in the day with Catherine O'Hara, would have this character who is just like, you know, constantly like losing.
I love your baby.
Yeah, that character. That is what poor Vicky Carr is subjected to on this track. It's just absurd, over the top. On American Radio, 90.3 WHPC, a great miss by Vicky Carr called It Must Be Him.
I tell myself, what's done is done. I tell myself, don't be a fool. Play the field, have a lot of fun. It's easy when you play it cool. I tell myself, don't be a chump. Who cares? Let him stay away. That's when the phone rings and I jump. And as I grab the phone, I pray. Let it please be him. Oh dear God, it must be him. It must be him, or I shall die. Or I shall die. Oh hello, hello, my dear God. It must be him, but it's not him. And then I die. That's when I die. After a while, I myself again. I pick the pieces off the floor, put my heart on the shelf again. He'll never hurt me anymore. I'm not a puppet on a string. I'll find somebody else someday. That's when the phone rings. And once again, I start to pray. Let it please be him. Oh dear God, it must be him. It must be him, or I shall die. Or I shall die. Oh hello, hello, my dear God. It must be him, but it's not him. And then I die.
Oh, dear God.
And honestly, I can't help
but
wonder.
It's a little melodramatic.
It's ridiculous. I can't, really, if they didn't fade it out, would they keep going up, like, changing the key every verse, until eventually you end up absolutely, totally hysterical and screaming?
And yet when she performed with Trio de los Panchas, it was an amazing thing.
She's a talented woman. I do not mean any aspersions against Vicky Carr at all. She's a great singer. Gilbert Bécaud, great songwriter. That song, though, the Americanized version of his song, is utterly ridiculous. This is the summer of love. The band that got it right was the Young Rascals.
Ah.
They started out as an R&B band, plain and simple, playing really good, strong, hard R&B. But by 1967, they're releasing songs like A Girl Like You. And a few shows back, we played Groovin'. And they show that they've got this in their blood. They've got this Summer of Love thing down, man, better than most, because they're writing songs that are stunningly fabulous, not just within the context of 1967, but within the context of 2020. This song hasn't aged even 2 days on Americanet Radio, 90.3 WHBC. Here are the Young Rascals with How Can I Be Sure?
How can I be sure in a world that's constantly changing? How can I be sure where I stand with you? Touch me, but don't take me down. Whenever I'm away from you, my alibi is telling people I don't care for you. Maybe I'm just hanging around with my head upside down. It's a pity I can't seem to find someone who's as pretty and lovely as you. How can I be sure? I really, really, really wanna know. I really, really, really wanna know.
Last track was Jackie Wilson, and it's worth noting that by 1967, the world had just about forgotten Jackie Wilson. It's like, you know, he was not on the charts for 7 years, perhaps. And, you know, he suddenly releases the best song of his entire career.
Unbelievable, right?
This is a man who was shot in the abdomen by a fan in 1961.
Some fan.
And the bullet wound totally derailed his career for 6 or 7 years. And I mean, as sad as that is. And then the whole Motown thing happens. He's obviously influenced by Motown with that song. You can hear the Motown influence on that. But he puts out a song that is amazingly emotionally powerful and uplifting. It's a wonderful song by Jackie Wilson after being gone for so long. And the problem, I mean, it didn't last long. I mean, he eventually had a heart attack in 1975. The bullet wound took him down. And he ended up in a coma with eradicable brain damage. And there was other band member, well, other musicians like members of the Spinners, Barry White, and the Asbury Jukes all contributed and performed benefits to help him. But this is Jackie Wilson, like with a comeback that was absolutely unpredictable. Your Love Keeps Lifting Me higher and higher. Number six, after entering the charts in September of 1967. Okay, time for our next great miss. No good segue here. I despise this song. I find this song so offensive. Peter, Paul, and Mary were folk purists to the point where they were annoying. They were never really pleasant, and I don't really ever care to hear Puff the Magic Dragon ever again or any of their versions of Bob Dylan's songs. But they desperately wanted to be hip, and they wrote this song called I Dig Rock and Roll Music as a tribute to, well, the first verse, they sound like the Mamas and Papas on purpose. The second verse, they try to emulate Donovan. And in the third verse, they move to emulate the Beatles. But Mary, of the Peter, Paul, and Mary, had basically had nothing but contempt for the folk rock. So why was she doing this? She goes, when the fad changed to folk to rock, they didn't take along any good writers. They disliked the song so much that they refused to perform it in concert, but they weren't refusing to release it as a single, and it became top 10. So I despise it as much as they do. Here are Peter, Paul, and Mary with I, quote unquote, dig rock and roll music.
Love to give. get the chance to play
and sing it.
I figure it's about the happiest sound going down today. The message may Sunset Strip in L.A. And they got a good thing going when the words don't get in the way. And when they're really wailing, Michelle and Cass are sailing. Hey, they really nail me to the wall. I could really get it on in that scene. I think I could say something if you know what I mean. But if I really say it, the radio won't play it unless I lay it between the lines. Bop, bop.
All right, pardon the aberration. I think I'm out of great misses, though. That's the good news. We've played three, didn't we not?
Then it is a happy Friday from here on out.
Well, if nothing else, I mean, they're at least interesting in terms of context. And that's why I feel like I need to include them, because not everything is brilliant and wonderful and great all the time. And hearing like a ratio makes sense. And if there's nothing incredibly terrible that's happening on the charts, so be it. But that was an instance of this period in time was an instance of three rather egregious examples, which is to say the Eric Burdon song, Poor Vicky Carr, who I picked on, and of course Pata, Paul and Mary. All right. What makes 1967 so incredible? Even the Rolling Stones thoroughly abandon their connection to the blues. By now, they are so steeped in psychedelia that their blues roots had been sublimated to the point of irrelevance. Now, both Mick Jagger and Keith Richard were arrested in Great Britain for drug use. They had Keith Richard's house was raided, and oh my God, they found marijuana. And they literally sent them to prison for it. They were in jail awaiting a prison sentence when there was like a huge backlash from the public about what was going on. And when they were finally released, they released a single called We Love You, which was definitely influenced by the Beatles, very tongue-in-cheek, and not connecting with their own root audience. The song, I love We Love You. I think it's one of the cooler things the Stones did, but nobody saw it as an A-side. Nobody saw it as an A-side. It didn't even get played much at the time. Instead, what happened with the single, just like the previous single, was they flipped it over and they started to play the B-side. So inexplicably, you know, we love you stiffs completely, while the more easy, palatable B-side did just fine. Here is that quote-unquote, and talk about psychedelic, the palatable B-side of We Love You, a little bit too political, I suppose, on American Net Radio, 90.3 WHBC's The Rolling Stones with Dandelion. If the Stones had heard that track in 1965, they would have been appalled. But I think it's awesome. I love the fact that they stretched out. I think it was a very cool, succinct move on their part. And We Love You, the A side, by the way, was just as good, despite what the public, you know, how the public shunned
it. They couldn't wrap their minds around it.
King Curtis played with the Coasters, he played with Aretha Franklin. That's him on Respect. That's him on Yakety Sax. And this is just like a lifer musician. I mean, this is a guy who basically turned down college scholarships in order to join Lionel Hampton's band.
Wow.
And here in 1967, he gets the opportunity to release a single. And it's incredibly cool in any time. It's just coincidence that it happens to be 1967. On American Radio 90.3 WHBC, here's King Curtis with Memphis Soul Stew.
very special is Memphis Soul Stew. We sell so much of this, people wonder what we put in it. We're gonna tell you right now. Give me about a half a teacup of bass. Now I need a pound of fatback drums. Now give me 4 tablespoons of ballin' Memphis guitars. This gonna taste all right. Now just a little pinch of organ. Now give me a half a pint of horn. Bring to a boil. That's it, that's it, that's it right there. Now beat well.
All good things come to an end. And we're just outside of the summer now at this point anyway. We're into October of 1967. But the Cowsills. I kind of know Susan Cowsill through our connections in New Orleans and stuff at various times. I'm at least meeting her. And I'm very sympathetic to her and what she's doing musically for, you know, since then. But at this point in time, she's a little girl. She's like not even, she's maybe 10. If that. She's probably 8. She's my age, you know. I was
call her and ask her,
you know. But this is the band that inspired the whole Partridge Family thing. They were real. They really were a family band. It was a band of brothers and sisters, and their mom was in the band, and they wrote all their own material, and their material was awesome. I mean, this was 1967, so The Rain, The Park, and Other Things made all the right references. Love, flowers, a peaceful sense of optimism. And it's also awesome. No matter what, I mean, it's just a beautiful idea of togetherness. On Americanet Radio 90.3 WHBC, I am happy to end this show with the Cowsills performing The Rain, The Park, and Other Things. Take care, everybody. See you next week. Happy holidays.
Bye.
I saw her sitting in the rain, raindrops falling on her. She didn't seem to care. She sat there and smiled at me. Then I knew,
I knew
she could make me happy. Flowers everywhere.
I love the flowers.
Oh, I don't know just why. She simply caught my eye.
I love the flowers.
She seems so sweet.
say hello.
Hello, hello.
She smiled up at me.
Hello, honey.
Then she took my hand and we walked through the park alone. And
I knew
she had made me happy.
Happy, happy. She had made me very happy.
And I was in a game. Sun broke through.
See the sun.
I turned around, she was gone.
Where did she go?
All I had left was one little flower in my hand. But
I knew
she had made me happy.
Happy, happy. She had made me
flowers in her hair.
Sunny day,
sunny,
sunny.